The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Monday's racing on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 2:05pm with Niall Hannity, John Budden and Mark Slater in the studio. We have Carlisle and Newton Abbott in the afternoon, Nottingham and Windsor in the evening. Plenty of racing to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio to look ahead to Monday's action is Mick Norton. How are you, Mick?
Yes, good, thank you, Mark.
Good. Glad to hear it. Right, what we're going to do is we're going to start with a quick look back at Saturday's action. A busy Saturday to look back on as well. There's plenty of stories with regards to Royal Ascot because that starts on Tuesday. And then we'll look ahead to Monday's action as well. So starting with Saturday, Mick, you were at York, as you usually are. The guest of honour won the big listed race, the Ganton Stakes, on the card. Firstly, what did you make of his performance?
Yeah, I think... he beat a good yardstick in fencing, but fencing doesn't look the most enthusiastic to me. I do think that's not guest of honour's fault. He couldn't do any more than go and win it. I think he's well worth another try in group company. But I think he'd be, you know, he'd be a decent group three horse, I think. Stroke listed horse, guest of honour. Fencing's got bags of ability, but for me, keeps a bit back for himself. And custom cut, he ran a sound race and... he wants to go back to seven, though. That's his trip. There's definitely listed races in him, but over seven, not a mile. But it was a competitive one without setting the world alight. If you get my drift,
yeah. Plenty of competitive handicaps on the card as well.
Absolutely.
Anything else stand out to you on the day?
Yeah, I thought a really good scrap between Spirit of the Law and Busato and Rosero in that mile and a furlong handicap. They really did have a battle royal from a long way out. Very competitively run race, that. And the order, which is unusual for a nine furlong handicap, but you're never altered. 1, 2, 3, the first three, all through the race. And it was a really good scrap. Spirit of the Law just coming out on top from a pound out the handicap. And, of course, the other handicap, the... Class 2 sprint. What a horse that is, that second horse, Nadia. That's a group horse, that, if ever I've seen one. Looked a picture beforehand. It's traditionally very hard to win that race with anything more than 9-1, Mark.
Yeah.
He carried 9-5, got beaten a neck, giving best part of a stone to the winner. A real top performance by a horse I want to follow in from now on till the end of the season. And I'll tell you what else, it'll be a handful against his elders if he takes them on getting the weight for age as well. Mm. Proper horse. That was a really good renewal, I thought, and he's one to follow, definitely. I've already put him on my tracker. And we saw a very good Touro race as well later on the card, Mark. The race was won by Pallister, good scrap between Pallister and Win Stanley, within two in back in third. Now, all three of those had previous racecourse experience and pretty solid form in the bag as well. But the one that caught my eye was the filly Super Quick, who finished fifth. I loved her in the paddock. She's a daughter of Rip Van Winkle, who's first two-year-olds of this year, and he's getting some nice ones as well. Wherever she goes next, especially if it's a filly's maiden up north somewhere, she's an absolute certainty. She travelled like the best horse in the race for most of it. It was just experience that tore close home. Three experienced colts finishing in front of her, and her stable companion, Bond's Choice, was another... She ran well too, but I think longer term, I think Super Quick would turn out the best of those two fillies.
OK, Super Quick then won for the Notebooks. If you see her pop up in a filly's maiden somewhere up north. We also had a listed race at Sandown on Saturday afternoon, Mick. The Winner of that, Windfire, just got there in ahead of Hey Tude, and G-Force wasn't too far away as well. What did you make of that race?
Yeah, well, I didn't see much of Way Racing with working at York, but I looked at the results, and she's a very fast filly out the gates, isn't she? And she broke well from a bad draw. I mean, that could have normally been a coffin box. That Spencer must have done brilliantly well. I haven't seen a rerun of the race yet to get her from stall 14, she's got a good attitude as well, and I know they've always thought a lot about her, and she's finally getting her ground, isn't she?
Yeah,
I think that's what she. Even if it dries out more, that'll suit her. Good race between the two. That's a good filly in second of Conrad Allen, isn't she? She went down fighting, and a fair way back to the third in the context of the race. So a good performance by the two fillies.
Yeah, it was, yeah. We also must mention the racing at Musselburgh. The big race on their card was the William Hill Scottish Sprint Cup, a heritage handicap over 5 furlongs, and Damora making all in pretty impressive fashion.
It was, wasn't it? A good performance. Did see that one because they showed it on the big screen at York, and their connections, they kept showing the connections in the... they watched it from the paddock, and they were jumping up and down like mad things as the race unfolded, and why not? Valuable pot, and Damora did it really well. It continues to impress that boy, doesn't he, Ali Rawlinson?
Mm.
Looks to have a really old head on young shoulders, and I thought Body and Soul was going to win that the way it travelled into the race. So Damora did really well to keep going and grab that valuable pot.
Okay, so that's just about that for a busy Saturday. We've got a busy week coming up as well.
Yeah, I suppose we must actually mention, while we're talking about Saturday, Her Majesty's horse, who won at Sandown.
Sea Shanty.
They thought they weren't going to get in the Hunt Cup, which is why they went for that. Which, I mean, it's a 30 grand race and it's all right, for goodness sake. You don't turn them down, do you? But they're going to try and persuade Her Majesty to let them run him in the Hunt Cup. Well, why not? He didn't... He travelled well into the race, and he worked for a couple of furlongs, but he didn't look to have a particularly gruelling race as such. And I wouldn't worry about turning him out again in the Royal Hunt Cup, would you?
No, I suppose not. If he comes out of the race well enough, yeah.
What have you got to lose? Nothing, he's going to pick up a £5 penalty. He's going to go up probably more.
Yeah.
So yeah, why not?
Fair enough. Why not? Right, well, while we're on the subject of Royal Ascot, Mick, there's a few stories on Sunday as we record this. Obviously, it starts on Tuesday. And Aidan O'Brien has been top trainer in 3 of the last 4 years at the meeting, and he's looking to kick off the meeting with a bang. He's got War Command and War Envoy, who apparently have both been pretty well supported ahead of the first day.
Yeah, I mean, I know they're expecting big things from the pair of them. I mean, War Command's best performance came here at Royal Ascot, didn't it, as a 2-year-old? And of course, don't forget, he ran in the Guineas. I don't think he was ready for the Guineas, and I think we'll see a different horse on Tuesday, and he could well turn the Guineas form around. I think the Guineas is the key race to it, as ever. You can't oppose the form, but it's going to be fascinating clash again, isn't it, with those horses. And of course there's also two more who finished seventh in the Guineas. He's having another crack at the front too, so yeah, it'll be interesting to see who's gone on from the Guineas.
Yeah, it will, and with the Guineas working out so well.
Absolutely.
So
well, we know Kingman's gone on the way he won the Irish, don't we?
Yeah. Another big race at Royal Ascot will be the Prince of Wales Stakes, where we'll see Trave in action, the Ark winner. Good reports coming from the Gosden Yard about the Fugue, though, who's not raced this year, but if she turns up on song, she'd be there or thereabouts, wouldn't she?
Yes, he's been working really well at home. I think, they've been given her plenty of time to get over a slightly underwhelming trip to Dubai, and... they've also been waiting for the ground for her, haven't they? Mm. Well, she's got her racing ground now, and I can't see that absence being a problem for her. She wouldn't be there if it was. And, she adds a nice bit of spice to the race, doesn't she? And, we've got to take these high-class fillies seriously wherever they go, haven't we?
Yeah, and another filly, high-class filly, or potentially high-class filly, is Lucky Crystal, who's going to stay over a mile. George Margison's not dropping her back in trip yet, and they're going to go for the Coronation Stakes. Disappointing in the guineas, though, wasn't she?
Well, it does come early in the year, Mark, the guineas, and a lot of these fillies haven't quite come to themselves. I'd always forgive a filly a modest run first time up in a classic. And, yeah, she's certainly worth another crack. She had an entry in the Jersey Stakes, but they're going to stick with the mile, and why not? Shouldn't be a problem for her. And she may just have come to herself, and it was, as I say, it comes very early. It was, I mean, springs don't seem to happen now. You go straight from winter to what it's like now, don't you? And these fillies, they just need some sun on the backs. Yeah. And we probably didn't see the Lucky Crystal at Newmarket. We may well see the proper Lucky Crystal at Ascot, a track George Madison often does well at.
Mm. Yes, so that's some of the stories for Royal Ascot. Then we'll go into the meeting a little bit in a
yeah,
little bit more
we'll know a bit more when we speak again next Sunday, Mark, won't we?
Yes.
Really, we don't know then what we know now.
Yeah, it would be quite handy to know, wouldn't it?
Just, yeah.
Anyway, let's move on. Let's look at Monday's action. Mick's picked out three races for us, and we'll get his thoughts in just a moment.
William Hill Racing Radio. From the first race until the last, it's everything to give you the inside track.
Okay, then on to Monday. Mick's gone to Carlisle for his three selections, and the first race that he's picked out is a 3:15. It's a Class 5 handicap over the extended 5 furlongs, and 12 of them in the lineup here. Mick, plenty of competition in this one.
Absolutely. Yeah, we'll go through them in race card order. The shortlist, the top weight Thatcherite has the steadier of 10 stone, and is still £4 higher than his last win. But back to form last time, and I think a return to this stiff extended 5 furlongs, it's only sort of 20-odd yards short of 6, I think they call it 6, but it's actually 5 furlongs, 193 yards. So I think that's no problem at all. It reinvented as a sprinter in the last 12 months or so, started its racing career over a mile, even 9 furlongs, and even ran over hurdles 4 or 5 times. But the penny's dropped quite late. He's really a sprinter, and he's doing very, very well at it. And he's made the shortlist. He's not the selection, but I'm not going to leave him out of calculations. The other one to mention in opposition is Rich Again. James Bethel trains Joe Fanning, rides another one who's £4 higher than its last win, but does act well here. Excellent course and distance reappearance 14 days ago, finishing third behind Sun Raider. Well suited to the track. Interesting, a lot of horses who run well at Beverley also run well here at Carlisle, don't they? Not dissimilar in layout, are they?
Mm.
But the selection is going to be consistent. Trained by Brian Boff, Duran Fentiman takes the ride. I mean, he's a real all-weather specialist, but he's got plenty of decent turf form to his name, and he was actually second to Salvatore Fury in a division of this particular race last year. It divided last year, hasn't this? And he comes here on the back of a really good second at Nottingham in May. He can run off the same mark as he was second in this last year, and he's got the same rider on board in Duran Fentiman, and a senior jockey taking over from an apprentice and an amateur rider for his second turf start of the season. And it'll be a good price as well. It'll be 6-1 consistent, if not more, and each way hard not to see him being involved again. So consistent for me in the 3:15.
Okay, consistent then at an each way price in the 3:15. On to the 3:45 next, and this is a Class 5 handicap over 7 furlongs and 200 yards, so nearly a mile. And because it's nearly a mile, I suppose it's interesting to start with Live Dangerously here, Mick, who had been campaigned over 5, 6 and 7 until his reappearance, when they sent him over a mile at Musselburgh, and he went very close.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He's not from 11, but as you say, it doesn't tell the whole story. Some very near misses in that, over probably what his profile now would tell us are over inadequate trips. And the handicap has actually let him go a little bit as well, and his mark is now crept back out of the 70s. And don't forget, some of those near misses were in the marks in the 70s, and he got that mark in some good competitive races in Ireland when he was trained by Andrew Oliver. So he's eased back into the 60s. A good effort at Musselburgh last time. Stable had three winners yesterday.
Mm.
And this looks a really good opportunity for him to break his maiden at the 12th attempt. So he gets the vote, Live Dangerously. A couple of dangers. Pat's Legacy, trained by Marjorie Pfeiffer, has been amongst the winners of late. Back in Trip, after a good run here on its first start for his new stable over 9 furlongs, on his first start, as I said, for Marjorie Pfeiffer. Has form at this trip, though, and won't be far away. So don't rule him out just because he's dropping back to 2 furlongs and looks off a handy mark of 63. That was an excellent first start for New Connections. And the other one is Byron's Dream, who ran into Run Fat Last Run at Newcastle, who did actually boost the form by going in again the time after. Did disappoint a bit at York on Saturday, but that was in a much better race. Nevertheless, a reproduction of that Newcastle second in May would see him in the mix. Doesn't always spring good runs back to back together, Byron's Dream, but if he can reproduce that Newcastle run, he is in the mix. But I do think Live Dangerously looks the answer to this.
Okay, Live Dangerously then in the 3.45 and on to the 4.15 next. This is a filly's handicap over 6 furlongs and 192 yards, so again almost 7 furlongs for this one. And there's a fair bit of in-form runners coming into this mix, so which ones have you come down on?
Yeah, it's got that unholy combo, hasn't it? A filly's handicap plus a three-year-old filly's handicap.
Yeah.
So it's exceptionally difficult. So a lot of these fillies, if they've had a successful two-year-old season, they bring inflated marks into their three-year-old career.
Mm.
And it could be the case with the top one, Jacot Delahaye, trained by David Brown. Connor Beasley's taken off three. Only 6 turf starts. Finished off last season by winning a Wolverhampton all-weather maiden. Unlucky not to have made a winning start for a new yard after not getting the run of the race at Lingfield last time over 7 furlongs. Trouble is, she went up 5 for that second of 9. Going up £5, that's a bit of a blow, isn't it? It now means she's now £11 higher than a maiden win, having been beaten in handicaps, if you know what I mean, off lower. So she doesn't look particularly well handicapped, but having said all that, she's got some good turf form, including on her racecourse debut at Beverley. She was second to Supplicant, who went on to win the Mill Reef, and she was only beaten 2 lengths by that. So it's a bit of a mixed bag, if you like. But you know, she makes the shortlist. I'm not giving her the selection, but she makes the shortlist. Jacot Delahaye. I'm going to give the vote to Election Night from the Tim Easterby stable. Of course, won the big sprint at York yesterday. Duran Fentiman in the saddle. Duran, of course, rides consistent for us half an hour earlier. Now, Election Night is a daughter of Mount Nelson. She left her debut run. She never ran at 2. She left her debut run behind on her last 3 starts. She's still going forward. Better performances than breaking the maiden in handicaps. And that was a good run at Ripon last time, and it suggested the way she stuck on, looked at that race again 2 or 3 times before we did this podcast. She's going to love this track, the way she was plugging on at Ripon. So she gets the vote. The other one to mention, I'm only mentioning it because it's going to take a chunk out the handicap because of who trains it.
Yeah.
A rare runner at the track for Richard Hannon, and that's Jive. Now, the form figures look quite impressive, don't they? You know, she's been placed on 3 of her last 4 starts, and she only got touched off at Newmarket last time over 6. Step up to 7, no problem. But she's now £4 higher for the Newmarket defeat, and that takes her mark back into the 70s. And you know how many times she's been beaten off lower marks than 72?
How many?
10.
Right.
And she is going to take a chunk out of the market.
Mm. Fair enough.
I just thought I'd mention it.
Yep.
So the election night gets the vote.
Okay, election night then in the 4:15. Let's just have a quick summary then, Mick, if you wouldn't mind before you go.
Yeah, good competitive days racing at Caroline. I had a little curtain raiser for the Royal Ascot week. The 3:15, we're going for consistent to go on better in this race than he did last year, off the same mark with the same jockey on board. That's in the 3:15. In the 3:45, let's live dangerously, shall we, from the informed stable of Keith Dalgleish. About time that one was breaking its maiden, and this is a perfect opportunity. And in the 4:15, election night, I think we'll absolutely relish this stiff uphill finish at Carlisle and can give Duran Fentiman a double.
OK, good stuff. Thank you very much, Mick. Enjoy on Monday.
Will do, Mark. Thank you.
So there you go, the thoughts of Mick Norton on Monday's racing. You'll hear it on Racing Radio from 2:05 PM with Niall Hannity, John Budden and Mark Slater in the studio. It's Carlisle and Newton Abbott in the afternoon, Nottingham and Windsor in the evening. So do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast and enjoy Monday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.